Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning, Monty. How are you?
I'm well.
That's great.
Betty has arrived.
Morning, Betty.
Good morning. How are you, Sue?
Doing great.
That's good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah. Nice to be moving. Monty's moving too and with us, so.
Oh, great. Hi, Monty.
Good morning.
Hey guys, what did we talk about yesterday besides Michael Moss's book and some stuff about Monsanto?
That was much about it.
Okay. I couldn't remember.
How to alleviate the issue of how much the KVB costs whenever we're trying to present it to people.
Thank you.
Right on.
I was too busy last night to listen to the call after I got home. So, like, get off the train in the mornings. But right now I'm just about 2 minutes away from getting off the train, and it's 8:01, so I'm basically moving all the way for the next half hour. So I
has arrived.
I have to go back and listen to it again. So the notes that you guys send me are very helpful.
Sitting has left the conference. Has arrived. Has arrived.
Nancy?
Has arrived.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nancy.
Are you busy?
Morning.
Good. Even Monty, you're here.
Nancy, how are you?
Hi, and Loretta.
And Loretta, how are you?
Okay.
Anybody else want to say hello?
Has arrived.
Somebody else just came on. Want to say hello? Okay, shall remain anomalous. Anybody have anything good, bad, or indifferent to report? Okay. Anybody have anything, questions? Concerns, thoughts. Okay, well, that's the end of this call.
Hey,
great. We certainly have a round this morning, don't we? As I look at the snow falling again today. Anyway, I'm going to wait and see if Char comes on because I just read this morning.
Char and Joanne has arrived.
Sunday's newspaper, a phenomenal thing. We talked about, or at least I did, I think it was last week or the week before where I saw somebody who had done an aquaponic rooftop garden where this guy set up from his fish tanks to recycle the water from there to water this wonderful garden that he put up on his roof. Obviously, I couldn't do that here because we have very steep roofs, but, a flat roof, I guess, would work. Anyway, in our Sunday magazine, which is the real estate section, they also have stuff in there about for people who are renters, and The title of the article says, Great New Items for Your Apartment Kitchen. Take the aquaponics garden. The concept is an ancient farming technique, but it has never been scaled down to fit into a kitchen before. The countertop-sized product is basically a self-cleaning fish tank that has a garden on top of the tank. Fish wastewater, which works as an organic fertilizer, is pumped up to feed the plants. The plants absorb the waste, and the clean water is returned to the 3-gallon fish tank. It's a closed-loop ecosystem on your kitchen countertop that lets you sustainably grow fresh herbs and baby greens. The aquaponics, the guy is the co-founder of Back to the Roots. That's the name of the company, I guess, that makes this aquaponics garden. The aquaponics garden is compact and attractive and solves the problem for renters or anybody else who want to grow their own food and have pets. And they show a little blue fish in this little fish tank with plants on top of it. How cool is that?
Give me the name of it.
Underneath the picture, it says the aquaponics garden allows renters to grow fresh herbs. Aquaponics, aquaponics garden. And the name of the company is Back to the Roots. How cool is that name?
Back to the Roots.
That's the name of the company, I guess, that has come out with this aquaponics garden.
You know, I've seen a picture of that when I first Googled it, when I first found, you know, heard of it down at the beach, and we went through the one that was in the greenhouse. I mean, the whole greenhouse was set up that way, I should say. I went in and I Googled it, and I saw a picture of exactly what you're talking about, except I don't remember it being hooked up with it on top of the aquarium. The fish aquarium. It was sitting beside it. I think this one probably wasn't that sophisticated and that good looking. But what a conversation piece. Doesn't say the price of it, does it?
Not at all. Or where you're going to get it. But
yeah.
They're just fighting different things that renters, you know, who can't get out in the garden, can use. It was, the next one was a Belgian waffle maker that they, you know, I didn't realize until I started reading further that there are other things in there. But this one really caught my eye. I would love this. Oh, it doesn't say anything about how much sun you need, because in the winter, Cleveland doesn't get much sun.
You don't need sun. You only need light.
Okay.
That was spelled out by the one at our beach house. Doesn't have that much sun. I mean, when they get a burst of it, it's intenser. Where they were quite a ways off the ocean. I mean, like a mile or two, so you weren't getting the reflection of the ocean directly. But that was one of the main factors, was that you did, you know, you weren't going to get the sunshine down there by any means. But the I had also read, when I read that first bit that I did about it, was that there were, I thought maybe you were going to say you found a store near you or a commercial building that had it on the rooftop, because that was one of the things they said in the eastern part of the country where it was really cold, they had them on the rooftops of commercial buildings, and they were using them. That was, you know,
on the winter.
That was,
on the winter.
Yes, year round. You can use them year round for certain vegetables. Some vegetables wouldn't do well in that, because they can keep it, if they can keep it just above a hard freeze, like if it got down to 0 or something like that, because they even had them in Canada. And Canada's a lot colder for the most part than the United States is, because it's that much further north. And they said as long as they don't get a real hard freeze to freeze the fish tanks, if they can keep it just enough warmth to keep it above freezing, and they can in greenhouses, because I know they raise all the herbs that are in our stores come from Canada around here. They're Canadian grown in greenhouses.
Yeah, but Vancouver is warmer than Toronto.
Right. I know that. And I don't know that, I don't remember him saying Vancouver on any of the labels, so I don't think they were Vancouver. I don't know exactly where. I'll have to look and see what part that they're doing it in. But anyway,
our outdoor ponds freeze in the winter.
Right, but they can keep the temperature enough just to keep it without freezing in a lot of the greenhouses, just by circulating the air.
Okay.
And the anyway, so I'm not 100% certain on exactly how they do it. Has arrived. The articles I was reading said, you know, year round for certain vegetables especially. Things will take a colder climate.
If anyone finds out where these are available, please let me know. I think it's
okay.
I think
fun
it's great.
Idea, Nancy.
Huh?
I think Marty would have fun with that too.
Probably. I mean, you know, just the idea of being able to pick something in the middle of the winter would be great. And yeah.
Other than sprouting.
Yeah. I never got into. It was just too much cumbersome for me. This just looks so easy once you get it going.
Yeah, I agree.
And Jamie used to have a fish all the time. In fact, he had a great big fish tank. I guess you can't use saltwater fish. You have to probably use regular ones.
I don't know. They were using tilapia. I thought tilapia was saltwater, but I don't know.
Well, I'm sure that these in the fish tank are not that kind of a fish. I would suspect they're more of a fish tank.
No. I think they would have to be small. I mean, obviously, they'd have to be small fish.
Now, this little blue one that's in the picture, I think Jamie used to have in his fish tank, so I don't have to. I'm surprised he didn't bring it up because he should have seen it in his paper also on Sunday. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. So, anybody else have any comments? Questions? Anybody else want to say hello?
Hi, it's Jeannie. Good morning.
Morning, Jeannie. How are you?
Good. Making the bed.
Oh. How many people do that every day?
I wonder.
I do.
Me too.
I can't imagine not. Anyway, we don't get the Sunday paper. Pencil Mindy brings us hers and we recycle it that way. But because we don't get it, we get what they call as a PD wrap up. PD meaning plain dealer wrap up. And but the front page has stuff that I guess appears later in the week in the paper sometimes. I don't know. But I thought this was the one that came on March 17th had some interesting things in it. Let me see where I was. This is interesting to me. Some laxatives ease chronic constipation, and I don't agree with what they're saying here. The incidence of chronic constipation increases with age, okay, but its causes remain unknown, and recommendations for treatment vary widely. Studies were reviewed of dietary laxatives, enemas, and suppository stimulants. I'm sorry to do this so early in the morning, folks. And stool softeners, drinking water and exercising, and people were age 65 on average. They found that lactulose and polyethylene glycol laxatives sold under the names like Miralax had statistically significant effects in several trials. One study found stool softeners helpful in a study of Senna, an herbal stimulant, also showed benefits. This is what really shocks me, and Marty even said, you know, he brought this up to me. Evidence of dietary fiber was lacking or inconsistent. There was little or no evidence that enema suppository physical activity or increased fluid intake had any beneficial effect on chronic constipation. That is so bizarre. I remember when Mindy had had a colonoscopy. Several years ago already, she had a hemorrhoid, which is not that unusual, but it comes from constipation. And she said, he brought it up, I don't remember who brought it up, and before he even had a chance, she said, you know, what can I do for it? Before he even had a chance to answer, I muttered under my breath, fiber and water. And that's exactly what he said. So here they're saying, no, this it really doesn't work. I don't agree with it. So, you know, I thought it was interesting. Go for the pills better. This one's good. Oh, same topic. I just realized that. Banana peels used to ease hemorrhoids. this person was scraping the inside of a banana peel and mixed it with a little petroleum jelly to make the mixture stick to the bite. I tried it last night and got far more relief than with witch hazel pads I had been using. And this is from the Graydon's D people's pharmacy. The answer is other people sing the praises of banana peels for hemorrhoids. Never heard of this before. Cut the stem off a bunch of bananas, the part where the banana and the bunch is fat. Remove the outside skin so you have a cube of stem. Pulse the peeled banana cube in a mini food processor along with 1 tablespoon of witch hazel. Pour the mixture in a dish and dip a gauze strip into the mixture. Apply the area of the hemorrhoids. Apply to the area. Repeat 30 minutes later with a fresh dipped gauze strip. This is a powerful natural astringent and pain reliever. I do it twice a day if I have an outbreak. If hemorrhoids persist, see your doctor. Ready-made banana cream is much easier and more convenient to use than actual banana peels. Just Google banana peels extract cream to find sellers. Who'd have thunk?
Nancy, can I say one thing real quick about that, just because I feel guilty if I don't? If anybody wanted to go non-surgical and have hemorrhoids removed, they do it in Portland, Oregon. It's pretty much outlawed all over the country, but because it was grandfathered in, there's a doctor here in Portland. I know him personally. I had mine done. Non-surgical removal of it. You have no discomfort, no cutting, and they're off in a matter of seconds. It's like they can do one appointment and do several if you're from out of town, or they spread it out a little more to allow the healing of the area. They're done with an electronic instrument. Once they're removed, they do not come back unless you rupture and start them all over again by bearing down hard or something like that. That also causes them, childbirth causes them. They said every woman has some inside her. She just doesn't know she does. And they are a setup for a couple of forms of cancer that can start in the body. And wow. It's been done since the beginning of time in this city, and because they were kept on doing it, they were grandfathered in, but they don't allow doctors or chiropractors. I guess a doctor could do it. A doctor won't do it because it's too cheap compared to surgery. And that's why they quit doing it. Originally, it was started in New York with another hot spot where they were doing the non-surgical ones. Mm-hmm. And when the doctors out here, some of the ones we worked with, found out such a thing exists, my one friend doctor said, that is the last thing he ever recommended for a woman and hated to see done because it was so barbaric. He said it was the most barbaric and useless way of going about it if there would have been another way. He didn't even know that it existed, and he lived right here in the city.
Oh.
So anyway, it's wonderful. It feels like somebody's touched your butt, and that's it. That's all you feel is a zip, a little sting, and that's it. So anyway, our own daughter-in-law had it done while we were out of the country for a couple of weeks and traveling back when we got back. And I had never breathed a word because it's not something that people talk about. And then we just found out that one of our friends had it done. You know, it's not a conversation piece, let's put it that way.
Not usually. Except
you're right. But I'd hate to have anybody... I won't name who it was because they're very private people, but people in NECAN have flown in here to have it done, more than one person. So they attest to it, and somebody would give another vital recommendation on having it done instead of having the surgery after they had it done here, both parties. So anyway,
thanks.
All that needs to be said, it's way less money than surgery, and again, that's why the doctors, and some insurance plans will now cover it because of it being, you know, a necessary thing and a vital, you know, a legitimate way, is what I'm trying to say, not vital, a legitimate way of taking care of it. So, my 2 cents worth, I've said it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Questions for sure? Okay. Well, interestingly, on the other side of the page is a picture of a blender with a banana in it. I guess this is the day of the bananas. And the topic for this one I love, and the whole, it's well over probably two from the top to the bottom of the page, giving a green light to smoothies, and they have Swiss chard and garlic and a pear and an apple and an avocado and a banana in the blender and some, it looks like some, mustard greens or something in the blender underneath the banana. And the title of the article, Drink Your Veggies with These Tasty Blends. Everywhere you look, people are going green. Green smoothies, that is. Vividly green drinks with consistency of a shake and the scent of a salad bar are supersonic flavor and nutrient bombs. Dark leafy greens are among the most nutritious foods available. Packed with a day's worth or more of veggies, green smoothies provide a massive dose of nutrients, antioxidants, vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, and dietary fiber. Based on the backbone of dark leafy greens, and then they mention kale, arugula, romaine lettuce, and Swiss chard are among the most common core ingredients, they're laced with an array of other potently flavorful and nutritious types of produce. Fresh fruits are added for natural sweetness and a softer flavor. Raw herbs lend their distinctive taste and aroma. Surprises like raw ginger, cayenne, or other chilies, even raw garlic may be incorporated for a 1-2 punch of fire, flavor, and trace nutrients. Raw foods advocates and those who believe in fasting and detox diets are big fans. But even if your goal is simply to pack as much fresh produce into your diet as possible, green smoothies are an easy way to do it. Basically, all you need is a high-power blender, a knife for chopping, and your favorite fresh produce. And then on page 2, they list 7 different smoothies. But the article continues with, I think it's information that we can hear because we haven't maybe heard some of it in a while. Some advice on making the healthiest smoothie. They recommend a diet rich in produce and dark leafy greens such as kale, collard greens, spinach, and bok choy. Key ingredients in green smoothies get a big thumbs up. Packed with fresh produce, green smoothies provide a large amount of nutrients. It sounds like I just read this, and this is the same author. It is. Why is it repeating itself? The most dietary guidelines recommend a daily intake of at least 9 servings of vegetables and fruits. So a beverage made from leafy veggies, whole fruits, herbs, and other plant-based flavorings can provide a major dose. Green smoothies are an efficient, quick, easy way to consume an abundance of a variety of greens in a raw form, says this woman from Preventive Medicine Group in Westlake, Ohio. Breaking down the veggies matter so finely gives them increased digestibility, potentially making the nutrients more bioavailable. She adds, you can and should still eat them in salads and veggie dishes. And when I read that, I thought, you know, after hearing Oz say that we should be chewing our food at least 10 or 15 more chews each mouthful, this is basically, in my mind, it sounds like it's doing it for us. And so we should be getting more nutrients from the broken down food. Maybe that's true and maybe it's not. I don't know. Comments, anybody?
Well, it sounds logical because you're breaking down the cells and that's what needs to happen to digest it best.
That's what it sounded like to me, yet I've heard many people say that by choosing you lose stuff. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it just...
Didn't Dr. Howe say that you should not be juicing them because the chewing, something about the juices that you create, you need those for digestion?
This isn't really juicing, though, so I think there is...
Not juicing, but putting them in
Do
you remember him talking about that?
I think
Shar asked him that question.
Right. But this is using the blender rather than a juicer. I think that you're leaving more bigger pieces of what you're eating, depending obviously how long you run it. I know that when I am using the bullet for my second, when I make a second shake, there are little pieces of greens in there compared to, so it's not really liquid. I mean, obviously it's liquid because I put a whole cup of water in, but it's not like you would get from a juicer, I don't think.
No, he wasn't talking about a juicer. He was talking about like a Vitamix.
So, A smoothie?
Yes.
Okay.
Not a juicer.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know. Any comments? Well, wait. You'll see when I get down further a little bit. Advantages are many. Dark leafy greens are nutrient-dense, low in calories, high in antioxidants, which appear to protect the body against a range of health risks, including some forms of cancer. Dark greens are also a good source of calcium and other minerals, an important nutrient source for vegetarians, especially those who consume no animal, as well as B vitamins, beta carotene, vitamins A and D, and dietary fiber. They're also filling and prolong satiety, a feeling of fullness and satisfaction, thanks to their high fiber content. A good idea to initially consume small amounts of greens in your smoothie so you don't get gastric distress. Also recognize that such foods are not without other risks. The American Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics categorizes smoothies as a snack. Purely vegetable-based smoothies do not provide complete protein, which is important to proper nutrition. Dark leafy greens are also sources of oxalic acid, an element linked to the development of kidney stones in some individuals. So while healthful, a steady diet high in such ingredients could pose health risks. Discuss the matter with your physician. If you're interested in adding green smoothies to your diet, here are some strategies to keep in mind. Chew, don't slurp. Digestion begins in the mouth. Elements in the saliva begin the process, which we've talked about before. They recommend before swallowing, swish your smoothie mixture around in your mouth in a chewing-like motion. So that helps the digestive juices get going too, I imagine. The equipment. Smoothies should be sufficiently pureed to produce a fairly smooth drink with no chunks, clumps, or other large pieces. That's debatable. The more powerful your blender, obviously, the better it's going to be. Can just increase, or else you can just increase your blending time if you're not using a Vitamix. If your ingredients include a fistful of torn romaine lettuce leaves plus chopped relatively tender pieces of fruit, any garden variety blender will do. On the other hand, serious consumers swear by, and then they mention the Vitamix. For best results, don't overpack your blender. It's better to make two batches. Liquid. You may be tempted to skip the water and instead substitute fruit juices. Resist, or at least consider two important points. Plain water helps your body flush and release toxins and other waste. When consuming large quantities of greens, many of which contain high levels of oxalic acid, added water is helpful in digestion and elimination. Second, switching to juices, which generally, while generally healthful, increases sugar and calories in your diet. Thus, that's something most people don't need, and they also reduce the cleansing benefits attributed to green smoothies. Strong flavors. No question, many versions are best described as an acquired taste. Dark leafy greens are intensely flavorful, super green, some say, and initially their flavor may be too strong. They recommend adding fresh lemon juice, as much as a whole lemon's worth, to offset the green's natural bitterness. Use a natural sweetener such as stevia to temper the bitterness. Fresh ginger can also aid in digestion as a pleasant flavoring. Leaves stripped from tender fresh herbs, and they mentioned parsley, mint, thyme, lavender, are enjoyable additions. Real green warriors add a clove of fresh garlic and or cayenne or red pepper flakes for a savory, spicy smoothie. And they say you can make a smoothie ahead of time, covered, and refrigerate up to 24 hours in advance. Color may change, either browning or darkening over time. They can actually be frozen, but the fresher the better. So, you know, I'm not saying don't use a smoothie. Obviously, with just using the Vital Balance, by the way, calling it a smoothie, we're not initially, at least in the morning, adding anything to it. So, I don't know. And then they have these recipes, some of them have stuff in here that we don't, no, I guess we do use everything. One thing, and I don't know if you guys heard this on one of the doctor programs, I remember when I was making the smoothies a while ago, I was putting in a piece of a lemon, including the peel. They strongly recommend not using, even if you're going to grate the peel of a citrus, unless it's organic. which when you think about it, does make sense. So I was putting a piece of the whole lemon in my smoothie, and I am pretty sure most of the time when I was buying them, they were not organic. I wouldn't do that again.
Mine were organic, and I was being really careful about that, Nancy, and I agree with you 100%. But I just said to Danny, while I was muted, I said, I want to get back to doing a green smoothie, but when the weather starts to warm, it would be a nice, cool drink a little even later in the day, even if you only make part of a one, you know, not a great big one like we had before.
Yeah.
Just for the value of the strong nutrients, you know, as an extra salad, so to speak.
Yeah, and I love midnight.
Yeah, I was going to say, I miss having my green smoothies. I really like those. I'm tempted to throw it into my thing in the morning, my shake in the morning, but I'm not.
I'm doing it, if I do a second one for lunch, that's where I'm doing it. And I'm doing it in the bowl, so it's not getting to be a huge one. You know, I don't know how much I put in there, but I do put it on top of it and pretty much to the top. I'm not stuffing it down real tightly, but, I'm only putting one scoop of the Vital Balance and I'm putting the greens in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Jeannie, was your birthday today, or was it the 24th? Danny and I are arguing.
Sunday. It was the 24th.
The 24th. Okay, he put it down wrong in his iPad. He didn't like the idea that he had done that wrong.
Happy birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Jeannie.
Are you 39 again?
I am. I'm having anniversaries of my 35th birthday now. I haven't counted up how many anniversaries, but...
One thing they mentioned here was the fiber for fullness, and that's one thing that Mindy is complaining about with the Vital Balance, that it doesn't seem to be holding her and she needs fiber. Anyone have any suggestions? Remember, she's taking hers like at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Hmm.
Mm, thanks, guys.
Yeah, I have to think about that. How much fiber is in her shake?
Not much. I think it's less than one. Or one. It's not a lot.
Yeah, because
I already gave you my suggestions.
Yeah.
For what? For her?
Remember we talked and I talked about it and I made a couple of 2-3 suggestions and you said you didn't think she'd like that.
I don't remember. Oh, no.
Take stuff with
her.
Oh,
I told her that, yeah. I think what she's doing is having a piece of toast before she leaves for work. With her, her pills, because she needs something in her stomach also.
I would say raw veggies to start with if she's trying to do the kickoff thing the way he's talking about.
I told her that, and a few nuts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And you know what? You get to the point where, Mindy, you're going to do what you want anyway.
Yeah. That's your own kid.
I know. No. But no, I'm surprised that there isn't fiber in it, actually.
I think fiber is a carbohydrate.
True, but it was.
Of carbohydrates.
But it goes through. I remember years ago when we were counting all that, we were subtracting the fiber from the carbs.
Right.
Because they don't really count as carbs in the true sense, I guess. Okay. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour. Anybody have any final questions, thoughts, concerns?
Yes, Nancy. For those of you that are interested in aquaponics or whatever you called it,
uh-huh.
You can go to the aquaponicsmaps.com.
Wait a minute.
And it will show you in your area who has is doing aquaponics. And it even shows their name and what city they live in. And if you're interested in it, it'd be a nice way to learn about it. Plus, it might be a nice way to make a contact.
So that was the aquaponics, M-A-P-S, maps, like a map of the United States?
Yep, and then you just click, then you just click on, like I have /Ohio here, USA, and it shows that in the Cleveland area, these are ones that are just a registered or people that are doing them. I'm sure there's more in your area, but it shows the places in Ohio that are doing the aquaponics, individuals that are doing it.
Okay.
Cool.
Great.
Thanks, Monty.
Thank you, Monty. You are a wealth of information. Well, on that note, we started and ended with aquaponics, and it just looks like something that could be cool. So, you missed it, Jeannie. There's an aquaponic garden you can make for your counter. It has a little fish tank.
I heard
on the bottom.
You talking about the end of it, so, but I'm going to go and look.
Good.
Thank
you. Sounds fun.
Thank you very much.
Well, everybody's
we must have something in Phoenix.
Well, you can do it all year round down there, so that's not fair. Outside, I mean. We may be still getting snow in June and July this year, so we'll see. Anyway, have a good day, everybody.
Thank you.
Stay warm where you are, and we'll be back tomorrow.
Thanks,
Nancy. Have a great day. Thank you.
Bye. To learn more about NECAN, we encourage you to contact the person who suggested you listen to this information.